Okay, so I will do roll call for the HRC meeting of December 11th. Cedric Smith.
Here.
Ashley Jackson.
Here.
Eric Howard.
Here.
June Webb.
Vinieri, and I'm here.
John Dalton. Okay, we have quorum.
All right, thank you. So I know Rick mentioned we won't be approving the November minutes this meeting. We will do it in the meeting of January, both approve November as well as whatever is captured here for this meeting and for the month of December. So we'll have two approvals in January. Okay. So we can move along to the call of audience. I don't believe we have any other attendees here other than Iris. I know Iris, we spoke about Iris our last meeting, joining the advisory board while her application is reviewed by the board. So we're just currently standing by for that. Moving along to the chairperson summary of current events. I really don't have any additional notes. I did reach out to Miss, forgot her name already, jeez. Miss Rebecca Hill, right? So I called, I guess I went to the website. There's a Will Rivera. So I called that number, left my message, haven't got anything back yet. So, I'll continue to press, try to get a hold of her for EEO, the director of EEO, ask her some questions, see if she would like to join the meeting, and we'll kind of go from there. Right. I know there's some certain data points that I mentioned that I want to capture from her and her team. So, to be more to follow on that once I get a hold of her. And of course, I'll fill all you guys in. But other than that, honestly, I don't have any additional notes for, the chairpersons. So, commissioners, do you have anything to share with the team?
I do. Pima County Interfaith has received both from the Sheriff's Office and the Tucson Police Department a favorable okay for the parish ID. And the parish ID is for undocumented, and churches are behind getting these signatures from their undocumented parishioners. And it has been working very well. In fact, we're pushing that all church members have an ID so that there's a safety in numbers carrying this ID. And it is to actually deal with what we see coming down the pike as far as our community is concerned. I'm taking it to the St. Francis Church Council next Tuesday. Or St. Francis in the Foothills, United Methodists, to get involved.
Okay. Thanks for that update. Ashley, you have anything?
I don't have anything at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Eric.
Yeah, I can share just an update about some local work happening to keep our water supply safe and clean. So I've been volunteering with a local nonprofit called Arizona Center for Empowerment, also called ACE. So they're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that mobilizes under-resourced people and BIPOC residents around social justice issues in Tucson and also around the state of Arizona. ACE recently launched a campaign called the Water Guardian Campaign, and their goal is to preserve and protect our water supply. And so actually that campaign is informed by a series of listening sessions in Tucson and around the state where they heard people's concerns about access to clean water. So in working with them and also my church, I go to Our Savior's Lutheran Church off Campbell. So I've been learning and hearing a lot about the historical trauma that people have from the water contamination in the south side of Tucson. comes back. So I'm going to just put in the chat here a news story about that. That was, it's a year old, but just so you have a little more kind of context as to what, you know, what coverage this has gotten. But just at a high level, a little bit about the issue in between 1950s and 1970s, the city of Tucson unknowingly served contaminated water around to around 31,000 residents on the south side of Tucson. And since then, there's been an effort by Southside residents and Tucson Water and the EPA to clean it up. And so now we're serving safe water, thanks to that some activism work also. And in 2016, high levels of PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, which are used in commercial products, were found in that same area, the area called the Superfund site. And so today the EPA is working with the city of Tucson and other entities like the U.S. Air Force, Tucson Airport Authority, to test for PFAS in the area and then clean it up by building treatment facilities specifically designed to remove PFAS chemicals from our water supply. So given that context, there's a lot of good work that the city is doing to keep our water safe. As I mentioned, the community engagement work that I've been involved in is about recognizing that historical trauma of residents living in the south side of Tucson who were unknowingly served the contaminated water during that time period. And, you know, the people who live there, you know, still experience health-related issues, so physical and mental health problems like cancer, depression, stress. There was a study done by a U of A professor named Daniel Sullivan. So he's an associate professor at in the Department of Psychology at the U of A. And the study surveyed people in and outside of South Tucson, in and near that Superfund area. And the study found higher levels of contamination-related stress among people who lived or worked in the Superfund site region of the Southside Tucson area during the contamination period. That data came from the people who still live there today. And so the study found that they had higher levels of depression and symptoms of post-traumatic stress about the environmental contamination. He's a psychologist, right? So he studies natural disasters and the kind of social stress that people have and kind of shares that, you know, stress is a health issue that can amplify other physical health problems like higher blood pressure. And so the study points out, and also in the news article, that people who are experiencing that feel like they need access to free or reduced health care for illnesses associated with that Superfund site. And so the article and also the study, you know, points out that the residents' requests have, to the extent that they believe is fair, hasn't materialized. There's a fact sheet. I don't know how I could send it to you all, of that study that happy to share. The last thing I'll say is that ACE, the nonprofit that I'm working with, is doing another campaign event rally on January 11th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Mission Manor Park. And that's one way to kind of learn about the campaign and what they're planning to do around keeping our water safe. One of the campaign goals is to get funding for blood testing to see what chemicals are still exist in the site, which would help people get medical help for people who are still infected and feeling that. And also Daniel Sullivan, the researcher, when I mentioned that I was looking for some information, he was like, hey, if you all would like me to come and speak and share more about the study, you know, he's happy to do that. Long, you know, kind of winded update, but I just wanted to share kind of what I've been up to and situations in the community.
Well, thanks for sharing. What park was it, that meeting? You said on the 11th of January?
January 11th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Mission Manor Park. And then this is just post the.
I don't know what day that's on.
Information. Oh.
I can look. Don't even. So, but yeah, if you have Daniel's email, maybe we can reach out to him and try to get him in here to discuss it. Are they looking for any type of assistance from the HRC?
Well, I mean, I think they're curious how we could support the, you know, people who are, if there's any way that we have any leverage or, I don't know, any sway, influence in, you know, helping the people get that kind of access to healthcare, if there are public grants, if there are ways that, you know, we could spread information to say, hey, if you've been impacted, here's how you can get kind of physical healthcare, mental healthcare, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I think they're open to that, and maybe that's a point of conversation with Daniel. You know, he's been really involved in this, and so we may have some questions for him about what government or the public sector in our position could do.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Eric.
And if there are any documents or anything you want to get to them, you can send them to me, and then I'll kind of disperse them to everybody as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I will do that for sure with the fact sheet.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining, John. Good to see you.
Yep, thank you. And it's great to hear everything that Eric was saying, and really appreciate all of your insight.
All right. So if no one has anything else, we did ask Mr. Rocky Perez to come and speak to us concerning the Metropolitan Education Commission. June's going to do an introduction. So go ahead, June.
You know, back in 1989, Tom Bolge, who was mayor of Tucson, and Raul Grijalva, who was then on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, got together. And they just started talking about education in Tucson. And then they decided, wouldn't it be great if we had a Metropolitan Education Commission? And the next thing we know, he's rounding up the leaders in Tucson, and they came together. And in 1990, the city of Tucson and Pima County together put together a resolution inventing or bringing together the Metropolitan Education Commission. And it was set up to be an advocacy group for education, K through 20. And the representatives on the first commission were actually, you would recognize their names historically. And they took the leadership role in making the MEC an entity in the community. And I was their first executive director and was there for 27 years. And it was, we worked. What's most important about the commission is it reaches the youth of Tucson, and it actually develops leadership in our youth. And you'll find today that we've had youth go on to the legislature, go on school boards. They're out there in the community providing now adult leadership. And at the same time, the commission became very active in making sure that especially students who didn't have access to funds to be able to go on to higher education. And so through its College Access Center, it provided a way, a pathway for students to find funding to attend higher education institutions like Pima Community College and the U of A. So, Rocky Perez is now the executive director of the Metropolitan Education Commission, and he's really been working to drive it forward in the direction that we need for the future of our community and for the future of our youth. So I'd like to turn this over to Rocky.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again, June, for having me. apologies if you hear noise in the background. I'm outside of Scented Leaf because there's no tables inside. So you might hear a streetcar too every now and then. But all that being said, I am very much a visual kind of person. So if possible, I actually wanted to share my screen. Just wanted to confirm, can everybody see what I'm sharing?
Yes.
Slide deck?
Yes, cool. We can.
Awesome. So, you know, you might see Pima College Access Network and the MEC who's interchangeably here. Right now, we're in a bit of a shift, and to June's point, you know, really driving MEC forward. You know, in the decades under June's leadership, MEC took on a number of programs that the moment might have required, and one of them was really centered around college readiness, to her point. However, you know, I think we are in a time now where people are recognizing that service learning is really what's driving students' interest to continue pursuing a post-secondary education, as well as really seeking out fulfilling careers. And so we've really taken an effort to really drive the Pima College Access Network as a front face for this these set of programs. But just want to put that to start. To June's point, the MEC is a public body under Pima in Tucson. It serves in an advisory capacity under both jurisdictions, but it's also a 501c3 nonprofit org. Within that org, right now we currently have 29 seats, but it's about to be reduced down to 24. And amongst those 24, there's representatives from local government, school districts, really, I think, just the full continuum of education within Pima County and Tucson. We are really focusing and centering our focus around empowering learners of all ages around service learning opportunities and really trying to bridge those interests with academic and professional pathways. Along the way, it's really about supporting them and achieving their aspirations, but then systemically also really advocating for interests that are in the benefit of the educational environment. We kind of take on this work informed by young people. So since 1992, June, correct me if that's not the right year. We've been hosting a teen town hall. And this year we had our our 30th, and this is a really exciting opportunity for us to bring together high schoolers to really talk about issues that are important to them, both relative to the academic and professional, their professional interests, but also of that of the community. And so you'll see discussions around mental health, substance misuse, climate change, and college and career readiness, among other things. This last year, or this year's, we had it in November. Again, this was our 30th, and I think it was a phenomenal occasion. We had a full suite of elected officials, and we took on this occasion in the spirit of service. And so, you know, I think really wanting students that have an interest of public or community service. And so we invited about 12 to 18 students from 3 to 4 high schools, or from 2 to 3 high schools from each district. And among them, we had about 108 students and educators participate. They got to hear remarks from elected officials at every level. And then they also got to hear in on a panel on public service. And so this panel was really about elevating some of the insights that they discussed when they broke out into dialogue circles. And so those facilitated dialogue circles are based off of their interests. And so that could be, again, going back to these topics here. The really cool thing that we've changed this year is that rather than just really eliciting some of these insights and for some students, really strong emotions around maybe their personal circumstances or issues that they care about, we were able to bring them all together amongst students that were in separate groups of the same topic to really formulate a message that they then conveyed to subject experts. And it was alongside those subject experts that they got to elevate some of those messages, priorities and solutions, proposed solutions to elected officials as well. These are just among the few of my favorite photos from the occasion. We, you know, again, from our elected panel to remarks to the dialogue circles. And as a thank you for some of the students for, you know, A, for their, you know, being able to contribute to these conversations, but then B, you know, really trying to promote college going, we actually had a, as a part of our registration, asked every student that came whether they've pursued admissions to a post-secondary institution, and whether or not they've been admitted. So we have insights on all of those students that have registered, and among them that did confirm they were admitted or are pursuing admissions were entered into a raffle, and they got one $1,000 scholarship and then one $500 scholarship from our sponsors. That was a really exciting conclusion. All that to say, all the insights that are derived from that event really inform our work. And another component that really informs our work is FAFSA completion. And that's also college going is one of the focuses of some of the information we gather from students at the Teen Town Hall. All that being said, FAFSA completion, for those who don't know, it's essentially just the federal application for student aid. It helps determine whether students are eligible for grants, for the work study loans, things like that. Last year, we saw the greatest decline in FAFSA completion that we have seen in a very, very long time. So across the nation, we saw a 22% decline. In Arizona, we saw a 26% decline. In Pima County, we saw a 23% decline. And this is all by college signing day, which was May 1st of this year. After a lot of organizing and statewide efforts, as well as a really significant contribution from the federal government, as well as from Katie Hobbs, we were able to organize and campaign and provide direct assistance and guidance to families. And we were able to close that gap. And so Pima County actually went from a 23% decline down to a 7.8% decline. However, it's still the greatest decline that we've seen in a very long time. So we closed the gap, but not quite. We swimmed the gap, but we didn't quite close it. Our stakes in this front is personal in that we have peer coaches, and they are AmeriCorps members. You'll see girls here, but there are boys. The boys just didn't show up that day. But these are high school seniors who are empowered to support their senior classes and college admissions applications, financial aid applications, cover letters, resumes, things like that. And so they're embedded in high school counseling teams throughout Pima County. And in return for their service, they receive a scholarship at the end of the academic year, a certificate from Prescott College in civic leadership, as well as elective credit at their high school, as well as Prescott College. So they're receiving a number of benefits as a result of their service. But last academic year, they had done just under 2,000 unique consultations, with about 50% of those being repeat consults as well. So we're seeing the utilization across Pima County and definitely the need amongst our schools here in Tucson. Just again, you know, this is not a new program. This is actually, I think, our sixth year. But over the past five, we've deployed over 100 peer coaches and have, you know, distributed over $100,000 worth of scholarships and thousands of volunteer hours. All that being said, we're not in every school. And so you might be familiar with Earn to Learn. You might be familiar with Education Board Arizona or Upward Bound, a number of different college going programs. But, you know, all of us are not in every single school. And so I think unlike the Phoenix area, you know, Tucson has historically lacked any kind of agency that brings all of those organizations together to look at the landscape holistically to say, you know, Sunnyside has 10 support groups and Flying Wells has one, Anchor Verde has none. And so really, I've kind of taken on this role through the Pima College Access Network to bring together organizations in the spirit of really trying to strategically promote college going and other post-secondary pathways. So that includes military, it could be beauty school, it could be certificate programs, really any kind of post-secondary learning. So beyond that, you know, amongst coordinating amongst different organizations, we're also taking to the community. And so we're now organizing beyond schools and providing assistance within local community spaces. So libraries, I believe what's not on here is actually one of the workshops that we're doing at the Community Foundation, essentially to provide support outside of school hours. So that way we're also working with families and folks like that. And then I'll kind of just jump through these. We also have what has historically been called our Youth Advisory Council, now a Youth Civic Fellowship, is essentially a service learning model where we provide training and professional development to high schoolers at all grades, essentially to support their aspirations as community leaders. And so they actually help orchestrate and facilitate the Teen Town Hall, the dialogue circles. But they are also going to begin building on some of those findings to start organizing community forums around climate, around mental health, around, you know, one big topic right now is around immigration and, you know, some of the consequences of immigration, you know, I would say actions going to be taken by the federal government in the next administration. And so really talking amongst education professionals, you know, what guidance we can provide to students and families. And then the year for them really culminates in two things, in that they deliver all of their findings and all of the insights they gather from the Teen Town Hall and throughout the year to the state legislature. And so this last year, we got to visit with a number of legislators, some House staff, as well as the governor of Arizona. And so again, this is a really exciting opportunity for them to get, you know, really close and personal with our elected officials. We also have and are sponsoring early career educator memberships with Tucson Young Professionals, and also establishing a mentorship program where we pair early career educators with legacy educators and administrators beyond their schools and districts. And then our year culminates with an annual awards. So historically been under the umbrella of our Crystal Apple Awards, so Teacher of the Year, Counselor of the Year, Youth of the Year. But we're also building upon that to incorporate six educators in the community, regardless whether they're in K-12 or beyond, and recognizing one per month up until April, and then College Catalyst Cups. So one cup per school district, creating some competition amongst all the high schools around how they're supporting college going in FAFSA completion. And so that event is going to be slated for May 6th of next year. And that's also where we'll be highlighting a number of our students and participants in all of our programs. Well, that's kind of everything there. All that being said, I am always looking for other opportunities to draw connections to other, bodies that are within Tucson and Pima, maybe even cross-supporting. And so I know that there has been, you know, conversations relative to climate around, equity amongst hiring practices, things like that within the city. And, you know, I think, however, if there's anything that might have piqued your interest and, you know, would like to draw a connection there, would be happy to connect.
All right. Thanks for sharing that information. I have a couple questions, but I'll ask everyone else. Do they have any questions for Rocky? No?
Well, yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
I have one. Rocky, are the students, are you planning on visiting the state legislators this year?
Yeah, we are. We're planning on doing it much earlier than we historically have. We're exploring February and March as a part of the legislative session. Last year we went outside of the legislative session, and so I don't think it was as productive as we felt it could have been, but we're excited to start much earlier this year.
Yeah. Because the youth have had an impact on legislation. I mean, a positive impact.
So I had a quick question. your student involvement. Do you, is there like a certain area within Tucson or Pima that you feel that, you know, you could need some help to kind of promote, you know, the education commission and get more involvement from a particular area, or is it kind of fairly level across the field?
You know, I think I'm really seeking help when it comes to, promoting resources to the higher need areas. And I'd say higher need in that, you know, in looking at what resources and organizations are organizing within Southern Arizona, there is a really strong emphasis on Marana, Moro Valley, Basis, Catfoot, and a little bit of Tucson. But as you get, you know, closer to the south, you see a lot of the intentionality and support for some of that organizing, you know, at a much lesser degree. And so I think it's just a matter of, you know, making sure folks know about the assistance that's available to students that want to go to college or pursue, you know, some kind of a secondary pathway. And then also, you know, I think it's very niche, but if there's any families out there with kids who really want to partake in, you know, service learning opportunities and support other nonprofits or really important causes, you know, our fellowship is an exciting opportunity for them to jump in as well. And then I think lastly, you know, I think a lot of folks have families with kids who are within K-12. And so if they have any, you know, educators in mind, if they want to celebrate them, you know, we're happy to accept nominations and, you know, really, really champion some of our educators out in the community. So that's another thing of interest as well.
And do you guys have any programs where you reach out to the community for, like, volunteers, like, say, like STEM, like a STEM project or something along those lines, to where you kind of seek engineers for volunteers, come talk to the kids, anything similar?
Yeah, so, you know, I think one thing that we're currently exploring is our collaboration with the Southern Arizona College and Career Night. Historically, we've always had our own college and career fair during the school day. But, you know, I think in the interest of broad participation across school districts and schools, a number of organizations and districts have come together to form a Southern Arizona College and Career Night. And so I think that's a great avenue to see, you know, what organizations or employers want to maybe chime in, showcase, you know, what their company is about, whether it be through internships or, you know, potential entry-level jobs, whatever that might be, or really just kind of showcasing, you know, an ultimate career that one can reach if they first pursue an academic, you know, credential to start with.
Right.
We're also looking for volunteers, I think, when it comes to things like orchestrating our team town hall, setup, breakdown, things like, you know, our awards event. One thing that I didn't mention here is that this year we're kickstarting Tucson Read Aloud Day. And so we're working with Tucson and Pima to proclaim a specific day during the Love of Reading Month that is essentially marked as Tucson Read Aloud Day. And that will be an opportunity for us to purchase hundreds of books and take to the community, both alongside Make Way for Books as well as Literacy Connects, to read aloud to you know, elementary school students. This is probably one of our more significant opportunities to bring folks into schools and to read to students. It's really kind of just in the spirit of really wanting to bring together all the organizations that focus on literacy, because we have a pretty significant number of organizations focused on literacy, but as a community, we don't really bring them together on that topic. And so I think that's going to be an opportunity for us to collaborate, an opportunity to point to how people can volunteer within those respective organizations, not just that day, and then how people can also maybe contribute to some of those programs as well.
Thank you. Iris, do you have a question, ma'am?
Just real briefly, do you guys do trades for kids, for the ones that are not trying to do four-year institutions? Are we also still doing trades where they have apprenticeships?
Sorry, my earphones just gave out. One second.
It's okay. You need me to repeat my question?
All right. There we go. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Yes, to answer your question, we do. So, you know, the college and career night and some of the other, you know, opportunities where we bring together colleges and employers, also an opportunity to showcase some of the other pathways. And so, you know, we've had folks that are within a number of different trades that have joined in as well. I would say that's where I could use the most help in bringing in new folks, because I would confidently say our strongest connection is to colleges and local employers. Definitely be looking for college students.
Okay, and I would just suggest that because some of the high schools, they have welding programs, auto mechanic programs. That's a way to feed, even if they're not ready for college. Maybe they potentially would if they understood the relationship between that. But also, it's for the people that are not going to be college bound to get a skill set. So that's just a thought.
Does anyone have any other questions? Thank you, Iris. All right, we'll move along. Thank you, Rocky, for coming and sharing that information. Greatly appreciate it. Moving on, June, do you have any updates from the LGBTQ
commission? Well, at the meeting last 2 weeks ago, we had several people attend who are interested in becoming LGBTQ commissioners. So we heard, we had an opportunity to meet them and ask questions and share information. And that's, we're moving forward as far as LGBTQ commission is concerned. It's really getting stronger.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Vacancy. I don't have any updates with the vacancy. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to have to add, voting, Ms. Iris Berry on as advisory on in the future agendas in the next meeting. And then we'll kind of go from there. Does anyone have anything else concerning vacancies or advisory positions? All right, future agendas, kind of what I just mentioned here. Add Ms. Iris Berry to the future agenda to be voted on as a advisor until her application resume gets approved by the board. Other than that, I know a couple meetings ago we were going to, I think, Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, were we going to reach out to, I think, the marshals or something along those lines, right? To kind of discuss what was coming down with the change in, you know, presidential administration dealing with deportations, things along that nature. Were we looking at trying to have someone kind of come in and discuss any changes in policy concerning Tucson, Pima, anything along those lines?
That is correct. But at this point, I'm still trying to get in touch with an individual. I don't know if they'll be able to come into a meeting and kind of give all those policies and things that are going on behind the scenes, but is getting as much information as I can from an individual is still being worked on.
Okay. And I did speak with the chief equity officer, so she'll be attending the next meeting. And kind of go over some things with her, ask her some questions, kind of see what her, you know, future plans are, agendas are, and we'll kind of go from there and see how we could assist her any way we can. Okay? Does anyone have anything else? All right.
We mentioned inviting Daniel Sullivan, the researcher,
Yes.
For the water contamination. I don't know if I'd have to check in if it's either this next meeting or one of the following. Is that still?
Yeah, I say we probably could. I'm thinking maybe for Daniel, give us some time. You said his name was Daniel, correct?
Yep, Daniel Sullivan.
Daniel Sullivan. Maybe February meeting.
Okay.
Because we have the chief equity officer for sure for the next meeting. And then we'll kind of go have Daniel slide in for February and then go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I can ask about
that. Do. All right. So is there anything else anyone would like to bring up for future agendas? All right. So move to adjournment.
Time is 5:58, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
Merry New Year and happy Christmas, holidays. Everyone.
You guys have a good one.
Yep.